can relate to that. I've not been in war, but I bet that was very scary. You know, something, it's like something is really invading your security, right? Like the security you have in a relationship or your own personal health or even your life. I was thinking, I thought of a few times. I remember me and my sister. Has anyone ever heard of Sherwood Lake? It's in Greenbrier County. And it's a real cool place. We camped down there. We were fishing at this one. Best fishing I've ever done. I had a bunch of bluegills, and I was just a kid. And me and my sister, and it seemed like a couple other friends, we were all young, really very, very, very young. You'd just cast the line in, and you'd pull it in. There'd be a bluegill on it casting. You know, it was this. I'm sure it was because I was such a great fisherman. Not really, but I remember after it was over, you know, walking back to our campsite, and it was just getting dark, and it looked like there was a man standing up there waiting on us, and we were just a bunch of kids. So I was kind of like, well, what do you think? I don't know. And my sister was the oldest, and anyway, it was just like a little bit of daylight coming through, and it made it look like someone standing there. So that was kind of scary. And then I remember as a kid also stepping on a rubber hose, a black rubber hose. It was not a black rubber hose. It was a black snake. I went home and my mom got me up on her lap. Water. My leg was just going like that. That was pretty scary. But the most scared I was in Chattanooga when we lived in Chattanooga and someone broke into our home. 4 o'clock in the morning, we woke up. I knew somebody was in the home. I didn't know how many. I wasn't sure where they was. So I got my deer rifle up to my shoulder and tried to sound manly. You've heard this before. And I tried to say, what are you doing in there? It came out more like, whoa, what are you doing in there? And I was pretty scared. And fortunately, he ran and crashed out a window. I mean, fortunately, I wouldn't want to shoot anybody if I wouldn't have to. But, you know, I was going to protect Amy and myself. But these things were things that scare us that seem to invade our security, right? One of the greatest things about heaven, we've been in this series about the glories of heaven, right? And specifically, behold, I make all things new in verse 5 of Revelation 21. And tonight we're going to talk about new security. And I'm going to review just a little bit where we've been. I may ask you some questions along the way. Are you up for some questions? All right. If you know the answer, raise your hand. Don't just blurt it out. Or we'll deduct 5 points from your score, okay? We've looked at new things. It says in the Bible in verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In other words, you can trust them. And then Revelation 21, we went through the different verses looking at new things. First thing that's mentioned is a new heaven and a new earth. New heaven and a new earth. Now, we don't know for sure, but what does your preacher think about the new heavens of the earth and the new earth, where that's going to be? Gwen? Yeah, I think, and New Jerusalem, we also talked about. What is that another name for? It's a specific name of what place? You're right. Yes? Heaven, right? We say heaven, but the Bible calls it there New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. And it's a good chance. We don't know for sure, but it comes out of heaven from God and that it may be suspended above the new earth. I'm thankful for the new earth. Like you said, I'm not a city guy. I've lived in some cities or in the suburbs, but I like country. I like small towns. So I'm really excited about the new earth without any pollution, without any problems. God is going to make it. And I think we'll get to enjoy it. I really do. I also talked about we're going to have a new interaction with God in verse 3. What is that talking about? A new interaction with God. How do we interact with God now? Okay. Through the Bible and through prayer, right? So what's going to be our relationship in heaven? It's going to be face-to-face with God. Because it says there, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We also talked about a new standard of living. what was that talking about? Anybody get a recollection about that? What are some things that are not going to be in heaven? Okay. Did you raise your hand? there's no tears. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no crying and there's no pain. It says that in verse 4. And then basically, what do I mean by perpetually new? Would someone raise your hand? Raise your hand. You know the answer. Tim? New every day. I believe that if you think about it, if Jesus went back to prepare a place for us, which he said in John chapter 14, he did that 2,000 years ago, so it would have a little bit of age to heaven, but he says, behold, I make everything new. I think God is such a God that everything is new every day. I mean, it doesn't get old, in other words. And that verse, behold, I make all things new. Then we talked about a new inheritance. Any recollection about what we talked about under a new inheritance in verses 6 and 7? You know, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And it says, he that overcometh, or the saved people that have trusted the Lord as their Savior, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. To me, it's really mind-boggling that we would be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Isn't that like, wow? I mean, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to create a place like this. Also, we talked about in verse 8, new company. New company. What was he talking about there? Who is not going to be in heaven? And I want everyone to be in heaven. I really do. I hope everybody trusts the Lord as Savior and goes to heaven. But who's not going to be there? The lost people, right? John, you raised your hand. You get a bonus point. You can't teach these people anything. They can't. No, I'm just kidding. To the lost people, because it talks about the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want everyone to be saved. But these are folks whose life were characterized by continuing in these sins and never trusting Jesus as their Savior. And so there'll be new company. The unrepentant will not be in heaven. And then we looked at a new dwelling place. We spent a little bit of time here, basically verses 10 to 21 in chapter 21, verses 10 to 21. Can someone tell me where this new Jerusalem is? We've kind of alluded to it already. Where's it coming from? Yes. Connie? Okay, it's New Jerusalem. And it says it's descending out of heaven from God, okay? And it says it has the glory of God. It says, and her light was like a stone in verse 11. And it says there was a wall great and high. How many gates? 12 gates. 12 gates. What is written on each gate? Amy? 12 tribes of Israel. So obviously one tribe is written on each gate. On the east, how many? How many? All right, some of you divided 12 by 4 and got the wrong number. On the east is 3 gates. On the north is 3 gates. On the south is 3 gates. On the west is 3 gates. Each gate is made of what? How many pearls? One pearl. That's pretty amazing. Says there's 12 foundations, and what names, raise your hand, what names are on the foundations? Amy? The apostles, so obviously a name of an apostle. And it says they're garnished with all manner of precious stones. And it says that the wall is 144 cubits. That's 216 feet. 216 feet. And most people suppose that that's wide. That's pretty wide gate, wouldn't you say? Now, those of us that were in sports at one point, everything linear I measure in football fields, and everything with height I measure in basketball hoops. So I'm pretty much, you know, okay, that's 200, that's two-thirds of a football field, a little bit over. So the city is 4 square, and does anyone remember how many furlongs it is? Connie? 1,500 furlongs. Nope, I'm sorry. You're close. I mean, you got something a little bit backwards there. John? 12,000 furlongs, which is 1,500 miles. And as I said, that's the distance from Clarksburg to about Denver. It would take you 22 hours to drive it by car, 5 to 8 hours to fly it, and 60 days to walk it. So that's a pretty big city, isn't it? And It says that it is like clear glass. It's like gold, like clear glass. Then we looked at number nine, new thing, new place of worship. What's our new place of worship? Is there going to be a great big old chapel up in heaven? No, it says that there is no temple there. It says, for the Lord God Almighty, verse 22, and the Lamb are the temple of it. And then it says in verse 3 of chapter 22, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. So we're not going to have a formal place to worship. I think we will around the throne, obviously. But it's not like a building, because basically God and the Lamb are the temple. That's pretty cool, don't you think? Last week we looked at a new light source also. A new light source. What is the light source? And fortunately, we'll not have to pay any electric bills. Therefore, the electric bills will never go up. What is the light? Larry? What's that? God is the light. That's right. It says the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. So you have the glory of God and the glory, alluding to God the Father, and the Lamb, which is God the Son. And it says, basically, we shall walk in the light of it, verse 24. And it says there will be no night there, right? That's pretty cool, too. No electric generation needed. Tonight, we're talking about new security, new security. So look at chapter 21, verses 25 to 27, okay? Revelation 21, verses 25 to 27. I'll read that to you. It says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, if you notice that, basically, we're going to have a brand new security. It's amazing how much money people spend on security. I looked this up. According, if you can trust what you read sometimes on the internet, this is the world. This is the whole worldwide. Spends between $240 billion to $522 billion annually on security and systems. Just think about that. I mean, I can't even hardly imagine a billion. 240 to 522 billion the world spends on security measures. You know, I'm sure that's cameras. I'm sure that's, metal detectors and metal wands and all that. One thing about Washington, D.C., where Ryan is, about everything you do up there, you got to go through security. You know, they usually got to take stuff out of your pockets. Sometimes you got to take your belt off. It's all because they're afraid that someone's going to do something they shouldn't. And I understand that completely. It's such a different world since 9/11 and things. And I understand it has to be that way, but it's really unfortunate. Like even for instance, because of security concerns, it's really hard to get a White House tour now. I mean, you got to know the right person or be at the right place or work it out. It's just not like, okay, well, we showed up and we get to tour the White House. It just doesn't happen. It's all because of security. But can I tell you, if you know the Lord as your Savior, security is not going to be an issue. And therefore, if security is not going to be an issue, guess what else? Fear is not going to be an issue. You're not going to be afraid of anything. It says, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. Verse 25. Now, if the gates aren't going to be shut, what's that a sign of? I mean, how many of you remember when you used to not lock your doors in your house? Y'all remember that? So why did you not feel like you had to lock your door or doors at home? Because you trusted people and you felt secure, right? Well, we can definitely trust heaven and the people in heaven and God, most importantly, so the gates don't even have to be shut. Now, if there ever was a threat, I don't think there will be, but if there ever was a threat, you could close the gates and the walls. If they're 216 feet wide and the gates are made of pearl, right, of one pearl, but everything is so good and everything is so secure, just leave the gate open. How many of you left the door open at home so many times and your parents kept saying, where were you born, in a barn or something? But we don't, I'm serious. Everything will be perfect in heaven. The temperature will be perfect. The light will be perfect. The security will be perfect. And it's not because of security cameras or anything. It's because God is there. Notice what it says in verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it. Into what? Into heaven, right? Nothing is going to enter into heaven that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. So none of those things are going to be present. Isn't that going to be wonderful? I mean, one of my pet peeves are people that lie. You know, some people are habitual liars. They really grind on me. Politicians can say anything, and they don't have to have the truth to back up anything they say. That really bothers me. But, you know, it says nothing that maketh a lie, nothing that's abominable, nothing that defileth is going to be in heaven. But who is going to be in heaven? It says he's going to be there, and it says in that verse, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, who are those that are written in the Lamb's book of life? The saved. When you get saved, when you trust the Lord as your Savior, and I'd highly recommend that if you've not nailed that thing down, to know, to beyond the shadow of a doubt. I don't understand people. I've asked people, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Do you know for sure you go to heaven? I don't really know. I think so. Maybe so. And we had some neighbors, good old neighbors. They were down in Chattanooga, and they were they weren't Baptist like I was, but I asked them, in the church they were in, and I said, do you know this? And they said, uh-uh. Are you sure? No, not really. I think I am. You know, that's really bondage. I would want to know for sure, based upon the Word of God, not because you're not saved by works, right? You're saved by trusting Jesus. So I want to know whether I've trusted Jesus or I haven't trusted Jesus. So I'd make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's very, 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 very important. But I'm thankful that we'll have a new security in heaven, a new security. And it says, backing up a little, or actually going forward, in Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15, this says some things, too, about what is not going to be in heaven. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that's Revelation 22, verse 14, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So that's us. That's talking about saved people. But it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So it kind of backs up again that the lost are not going to be in heaven. Anything that threatens our security will not be in heaven. Go back to Revelation 21. Look at verse 12. Now, in case you need a little bit more reassurance that we're totally secure, it says in verse 12, and had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. 12 angels. Now, that's pretty cool, don't you think? Not that we'll need it, but just in case, we have an angel stationed at every gate. You know, and I've read this story probably over 1,000 times, or this description of heaven, but that's one thing that never stuck out to me a whole lot until we were looking at it here. It's like, there's an angel at every gate. I know with the boys, I figured out that basically I asked God for 10 angels to protect their vehicles. Planes, as many as God wants to send their way. And I'm thinking about, you know, each corner, I mean, but one angel's enough. I say that. But I'm thinking, okay, one angel in each corner of the car, one angel halfway through the back of the, between front and back, one in the front, one in the very back, one on top, one underneath. That's good, God. But really, how many angels does it take to protect? I mean, God has given them power. That's not their own power. It's God that's given them the power to do that. But there's going to be an angel at each gate. That even should give us a little more security, right? Again, we won't need that angel to act, I'm convinced. But, and it does say a wall great and high. We talked about that with 12 gates. It says in verse 23 to 26, we mentioned it there a little bit ago, but in the context now of security, it says that there'll be no night there. It says they'll have no need of the sun, verse 23. It says, and the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. It says in verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. When are we tempted to be a little bit more afraid? At night. I know when we were broken into in Chattanooga, it was dark. We just couldn't wait for that police officer to get there. We had them on the phone, but they was like, then it sounded like they were breaking in, but it wasn't them. It was the police. You know, we were just kind of at night. But there won't be any night to make us scared. I think some of you are probably still scared of the dark, aren't you? As a kid, a lot of kids are scared of the dark. I'm not scared of the dark anymore, but maybe some are. But there'll be no night there. And then look at verse 3. Of Revelation 21. Again, this is a big one. This is a big one. It says in verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Here it is. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 22, it also says, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. So we're going to have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in heaven. You know, it's kind of like probably in most cases you felt a little secure around your dad when you were growing up. I know there's exceptions to that, but usually if your dad was there, hey, he can handle it. I've already told y'all Sunday, my dad could have whooped any of your dads. Yeah, you know, but the point is our Heavenly Father, he's going to be there. So what in the world could threaten our security? What in the world could make us scared? Nothing. Nothing. There will be no fear in heaven because there's nothing to be afraid of. Isn't that good news? I mean, I'm really convinced that a lot of times we let things, maybe not for a long time, but at least for an instant, scare us. I mean, just drive around on the roads a little bit, and sometimes these crazy drivers will scare you half to death. You know, coming at you left of center. I don't know. Route 23. I don't know if there's a sign at the beginning. I haven't seen it. I don't know. Does it authorize people? You're Doddridge County, and Amy, is there a sign at the Doddridge County line that says it's okay to go left of center if you want to? But it almost seems that way around all the curves sometimes. And things come up, and we hear things like, hey, you got cancer. Hey, you've got an incurable disease. Hey, guess what? So-and-so just died, and I know you're very close. Things like that kind of rock our world a little bit. But let me tell you, in heaven, there's nothing that's going to rock our world. It's going to be a nice, even ride, so to speak. It's going to be good all the way around. We don't have to worry about security, ultimately, because God is there. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to heaven. I mean, I want to stay on this earth as long as God wants me to stay here. But so many people, I remember my stepmom, she was ready. She wanted to go home. She's battled, I believe she was 90, and I believe she had cancer 5 different times and survived cancer 5 different times. And I'm not exactly sure what ended up taking her life at the very end. I don't know if I don't even think the doctors really know for sure, but she was ready. She was ready. She said, I don't understand why God is leaving me here. I want to go home. And then her daughter would always tell her, it's because you're a prayer warrior and you pray for people. And she said, well, she laughed about it. She said, I told my daughter, this is my stepmom talking to me. She said, you reckon if I quit praying, God would take me home? And the daughter said, shame on you. You shouldn't say that. But, you know, here in the last, couple months, month or so, she went home. I'm looking forward to heaven. It's going to be a whole lot better. We have good days here, and thank the Lord we have good things here. God is good and gracious and all that. But I'll have total 100% security. Nothing bad can enter heaven. The lost are excluded from heaven, even though I'd like to see them saved, but we'll not have to deal with the sinfulness and the lying and all that. There's a great wall, high 12 gates. Each gate has an angel. The gate's not even going to be shut. You're so secure. There's no night there. The tabernacle of God was there, and the Lamb's going to be there. I don't know how it could get any better, do you? I'm all fine with security cameras in this world. I'm all right with locking your door. I lock our doors at night. But guess what? You don't have to worry about that in heaven. So if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you a question. A couple questions. First question, are you sure you're going to be in heaven? Are you sure that you're going to be in heaven? Between you and God right now, are you sure that you'll be in heaven when you leave this world? If not, I'd encourage you, whether you're listening in by our live stream or here tonight, I wouldn't go another minute. I wouldn't even go another second if you could help it, not knowing that you're on your way to heaven. The type of salvation that's taught in the Word of God is a no-so salvation. You should know whether you're saved or not. If you're not, and you're listening in by live stream, I'd encourage you, wherever you are in your recliner, wherever you might be outside, you can call out to God and mean it from your heart. It's not in the words, but it's in the heart. You can call out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I have failed you many times. I've done things against you. Forgive me of my sins. And then you can say from your heart, if you mean it, I believe that Jesus was your Son, God, that died on the cross for me to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And then you can call out to God from your heart and say, I confess Jesus as my Savior. He is the one I'm going to follow. He's my leader. And if you mean that from your heart, now nothing in the words, but if you truly mean that with every ounce of being that you have, you can be saved wherever you are. And I'd encourage you to do that very thing. And if you're here tonight in particular, not saved, I'd settle it before you leave. I'd love to talk to you. Other people would love to talk to you if you're not sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the glories of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that everything is going to be new. And, Lord, we're going to have a new security. There's not going to be anything to worry about or to make us afraid in any way. And, Lord, again, your heaven didn't have to be this way. The God that you are, you didn't have to be the God that you are, but you're a perfect God, and you're a wonderful God, and you're a loving God, and you're an all-powerful God, and we just praise you for that. Lord, help us to be excited. Lord, not to the point of being of no use in this world, but help us to have an excitement in our heart, Lord, for the day that we're going to be in your presence in heaven. We just praise you and thank you that you made a way for us poor old sinners to get to heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name.